Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. It is PK Subban night here at Bridgestone Arena, so what better person to join us than PK Subban himself? Appreciate you for joining us. And we were just discussing how the three most successful seasons in the history of the Nashville Predators franchise happen to be your three seasons here in Nashville. So what does this team, this city, this franchise mean to you in the context of your career?
Yeah, I mean, well, to put it in perspective, there's been so many great teams in the organization since 98. So many great players. I mean, you talk about all the Hall of Fame players that have come through here. So many great defensemen as well. And I think it just speaks not only to myself and the way I played here, but the team. I mean, you know, my best takeaway from playing in Nashville were my teammates and the guys that I played with. And, you know, they're a phenomenal group of guys. A lot of them I'm still in touch with now. So, you know, we really built a special bond. And I think in order to accomplish the things that we did during my time here, you do have to have a special bond as a team. And when you think about that first year, like, nobody expected us to really do anything crazy that first year. The expectations were, you know, high, but based on how we started the season, we were kind of 500 team. We had that crazy sickness in Detroit where a bunch of guys drank chicken soup.
I'm just glad they didn't let us into the pregame meal with you guys, BK, because we were spared for that. But that was rough.
But I think all of that stuff was good for us because, you know, there was so much pressure but on our team to perform and get over that hump. And, you know, the organization just stuck with us. You know, they just let us kind of find our groove. And then come March, we just didn't look back. We had bonded with a team and as a team. And I remember we spent a lot of nights on the road. Central Division is the worst travel in the league. So we spent a lot of time in hotels, on the road, a lot of team dinners. And by February, March, we were like, we were brothers, you know. So it didn't matter whether we were the first seeded team or eighth seeded team. We were in the playoffs. You didn't want to play us. And, you know, we ended up sweeping the first round. That wasn't a surprise to us in that room. We knew we were a better team. And we knew that we were better than what our record showed early in the season. It was just figuring out how everybody fit in. And we found that balance. You know, when I started in Nashville, I was playing with Yossi a little bit. Then me and Ekholm built that chemistry. We were able to balance it out. But for our team, we were a special group. And we deserved everything we got. I think we deserved even a little bit more.
Now, BK, you speak about that team and, you know, going through what y'all went through that season and then making it to the Stanley Cup. Did you ever get an opportunity? Because I'm remembering when I was a young player in 99, we went to the Super Bowl. It was like I had all these older guys and I was young. And I never really just stopped and just – viewed and looked at everything and took it all in. It was like go from one game to the next. And I know it's different for you guys because you play seven games in the Stanley Cup, but for us it's just one game. But I never sat down and like, man, let it all soak in. Were you able to just sit back during that time and just let it all soak in?
You know, I played 96 playoff games in my career. You know, played a lot of them with Nashville. But when I came to Nashville, I played already a lot of playoff games. And, you know, I was never going to evaluate us as a team during the regular season. You know, even when I look back at my career, I don't evaluate my career on my regular season. I evaluate from the playoffs and how I played. And my whole thing was I never wanted to look back at any playoff run or any year I was in the playoffs and say that I didn't raise my game or I didn't elevate my game or I didn't help my team. I didn't do my job. So, you know, for us, when we got into that Stanley Cup playoff, I think for a lot of the guys it was new. Mm-hmm. For me, it was like we got to get to the Stanley Cup final. So, you know, once we got to the final, you want to win. Mm-hmm. You don't have a chance to sit back and look around and be like, I'm here, because
the other team, the Pittsburgh Penguins, has already been there twice. They're not looking around saying we're here. You know, they're saying we know what we need to do to prepare to win. So I think for our team, for me specifically, it was focused on trying to win and trying to get this thing done. But, you know, the best time to look around was like when we'd be in the lounge and they'd be showing clips of Broadway and all the people. That was what was to take in because, you, like, Nashville had never seen that before, you know. And to be able to have been a part of a team that created that for a city is something special because Nashville is on the up and up. It's going to continue to grow as a city and expand. It's one of the best cities in North America. You know, in my opinion, it's probably in the top five, you know, of all the great cities in North America that you want to come to, that you'd want to play in as an athlete, you want to live in. So to be a part of that, that was the take back for me, was the impact that we had on the fan base and how we were able to bring everybody out of the woodworks and make them not just fans for that run, but permanent fans moving forward.
Now, I know you just recently retired. So, one, how has retirement, brief retirement thus far has been for you? But then also, you know, you could have taken your pick at things. You're great in the media. You have this charismatic sort of aura about you. You're, you know, likable by just about everybody. So when you get in the booth, how did you try to figure that out? Like, what do I do? Do I go back for another year, possibly? Yeah, I can do it physically. Or do I get in the booth or go on set like that? Was that a hard decision for you to make?
Well, you know, I think that decisions are never really tough because, you know, I think in a lot of ways life makes decisions for you, mm-hmm. you know, if you're just patient enough, you know, decisions are never really tough. You know, for me, I have like my morals, values, and the things that I know make me happy, mm-hmm. that make me successful at what I do. So like for me, I always need structure. Mm-hmm. When I have structure, then you just let me work within that structure and I'll be fine, you know, but when, you know, people try to make decisions for you or if people make decisions for you, that's not going to fly with me, you know, because I established my own independence very early in my career that I was going to be who I was. I was going to be the way that I was. I was going to do things a certain way. And ultimately, not everybody is always going to be okay with that. So, you know, when it comes down to a time for me 13 years later, when I know I could probably play the game for at least another 3 or 4 years, like, I got no injury issues. My body's great. I still train the way I would train for an off season. So, for me, the decision was, if I didn't have an opportunity to win a Stanley Cup or play in a situation where I could use all of my talents and ability. You know, I was in New Jersey, which was a rebuilding team, and you know, as much as I loved playing there and I love those kids, I love those guys, I had a great time. I know they loved me. We had a great time there. You know, I knew that I wasn't going to get the full opportunity to be able to bring to the table of what I can actually bring to a team. And so for me, I always have this perspective is why take less in life? Like, why take less? Mm-hmm. Like, when would you ever take less in your life? Why would you ever take less? I would never take less in anything. I want to always win. I always want to be at the highest level of my game. And if I couldn't bring the certain level of game that I'm accustomed to, then I won't play. And if somebody isn't going to allow me to bring that level, then I ain't playing. You know, I'm lucky enough to have been able to make enough money in my career. And I've accomplished a lot of really great things. You know, yes, I wanted a shot at a Stanley Cup, but it's got to be the right situation for me because I can tell you this, it, you know, playing to win a Stanley Cup, you still got to play an 82-game season.
Yeah.
You still got to get to the playoffs, you know, and that is a commitment. And for me and the integrity that I have for the game, I only prepare a certain way. And that's not a switch you can turn on and off. So for me, I wasn't up for being in and out of a lineup next year and on a team. I wasn't, you know, okay with, you know, maybe if I'm on a winning team playing 14, 18, sliding into a situation where you're a part of something, yeah, but those opportunities never really presented themselves until after I retired, mm-hmm. you know? And for me, I'm an all or nothing guy. I'm either in or I'm out. I'm never in the way. You know what I mean? So it's like there's no – I think that there were a lot of teams that were surprised that I wouldn't wait it out and see what happens. But I never thought of myself as that player. I never thought of myself as a replacement player. You know, as a guy, you know, I have pride in what I do, but my approach to the game is always going to be here. So I'm not going to allow somebody to only have me come here mm-hmm. when it comes to what I want to give. I'm a passionate player. I play off of instincts and passion. That can be taken away from you in the wrong situation. And for me, I have opportunities to do other things. But for me, I always wanted to leave the game loving the game. Mm-hmm. Not leaving the game saying, man, you know, I hated the last year of my career. I loved every moment that I played. I loved my time in New Jersey, being able to help those young guys get to where they are now. And we look at the New
Pretty
Jersey
good.
Devils and the team that they have. Yeah, and playing a role in helping those guys develop is definitely something that I take from that. So, you know, I think that when it's all said and done, I'm sure I'll write a book one day and I'll be able to talk a little bit more about my transition out of hockey in more depth. But I'm very happy with where I am now. I'm very content with where I am, and I'm excited about the next chapter.
So you're not going to pull a Tom Brady?
The way I am, man, I'm like I said, I'm all or nothing. It's like an ex, man. When I break up with it's done. We're done. There's no coming back. We're done.
You know, yeah. PK Subban is with us. And PK, we had the pleasure of being in Montreal when they honored you just a few weeks ago, and the thought that came back to me, you know, just you could see the emotion. You could see the connection that you have with those fans, and I'm sure we'll see some of that tonight, but it's got to be rewarding to you. You probably had a lot of kids that you met when you were younger that there's great success stories, right? Somebody you met at the hospital, you know, here in Nashville, the Blue Line Buddies, you probably will see a few of those guys tonight, but the connection that you made, that's got to be great to know that you left a mark like that, that it's kind of, it can, and it continues to this day.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, like, I think that, like, without the platform that hockey has given me, maybe I wouldn't have the opportunity to have that type of impact. But, you know, I realized that when I was probably 18 or 19, when I played on the World Junior team. And, you know, you have kids coming up to you from all different types of backgrounds. And it's not the kids, it's the parents saying that you're an inspiration to my kid. You know, not like, oh, my God, that was an amazing goal that you scored. Or, oh, my God, you're such an amazing hockey player. It's different when people approach you that way. So, you know, that happened at an age where I was probably too young to even really, you know, embrace it fully, but I did, you know, and it was important to me. So a lot of the things that I did throughout my NHL career, whether it be in Nashville or in Montreal, a lot of that was because I felt it was my responsibility to do a lot of those things, and I took that responsibility on, and I'm happy I did because, you know, playing in the National Hockey League is great, you know, getting paid a lot of money, traveling, people love you. It's all great, but I've always been a guy that likes to have balance in my life. And, you know, you can get caught up into that stuff, but a lot of what I did in my charity and my foundation in the community kept my feet on the ground and kept me balanced in a lot of different ways. And that's why I never get too high or too low. You know, because I'm always winning, you know, whether yeah. I'm, you know, I lose again, I'm always winning in life.
Where do you think you got that ability to connect with kids? I mean, there are certain people, and you come to mind as at the top of the list of.
Well, I don't have any kids that I know of. I don't have any kids okay. that I know of. So,
but, you know,
it's not like yeah. I've been parent, like, yeah.
No question. I get you. But, you know, just you meet a group of people that you haven't met before. You dive right in there. They tell you their story. And you just have an ability to sort of hone in on that and sort of take it from there. And then the next thing you know, you got like a lifelong friend. They're following you from there. And you know you've inspired somebody like that. That's not an easy thing for everybody to have.
Yeah, I think I just don't, like, take myself too seriously. So, you know, not everybody's a fan of PK. You know, not everybody's a fan of myself. But, and I don't expect everybody to be a fan. I think, you know, part of me is, like, my ignorance to thinking that I'm different than everybody else. I've always thought of myself as everyone else. Sometimes that kind of gets me into trouble or puts me into situations where I end up being stressed out because I don't get treated like everyone else all the time. But that's the way I've always thought of myself, is just trying to be like everyone else. And I think people feel that, you know, when you meet people, I think they feel that, that, you know, that they can talk to you. And when people are fans, if they feel that they can connect with you and touch you, they usually stay fans, you know. And that's really what it's all about is, you know, if you're true to yourself, then you're confident that when people get a chance to actually meet you and know you, then they're going to respect the person that you are. So, you know, I never get caught up, you know, with the people that aren't fans of mine because they don't probably really know me. You know, or they're fans of the Bruins, you know.
So, but before we let you go, too, how is your family doing? We had a chance, you know, your parents here for so many games. Your sisters, I know, were very close in helping you when you came to Nashville. You've got your brothers out there. How is everybody doing?
Fantastic. I can't complain. Health is the number one thing, and knock on wood, and everybody seems to be healthy, and we're just plugging away. Everybody's doing their thing, and I got to spend Thanksgiving with my family first time in a long time, which is, I mean, just for the food, my mom's food, to be able to do that. I got two Thanksgivings this year. I got to do Canadian Thanksgiving and U.S. Thanksgiving with my best friend in Boston, so double food. But man, with this retirement, man, I put on like 14 quick, and then I dropped like 15, so you know, I've now I'm like back into my program and working out, and it's actually a lot of fun, man. I'm having a great time just being able to have a balanced lifestyle. It's nice.
Saw you were on a mechanical bull last night. Is that hurt worse the day after than when you were actually playing? How are we feeling
so
today?
Scared. I was so scared because like one buddy had said, "Oh my God, my friend did one of those and like busted her face open." It was all, and I'm like, don't tell me that. Like, I'm not trying to bust my face open. And I had a couple drinks already, so I was like a little worried. I'm like, should I be getting on this thing? Anyway, I got on it. I held on for dear life. It's a lot harder than it looks. It looks like it's going slow, but it's like, man, it looked my run wasn't the greatest run on it. It was my first time doing it, so. And I don't think it was on advanced mode. I think it was like toddler mode. Like it was barely moving. But
glad you made it out unscathed. First time, maybe not last time.
Definitely not the last time. But it would have to take a special day for me to get back on one of those things.
You mentioned something earlier in the interview, PK, structure.
Yeah.
And that's big for players, especially guys like yourself who've been playing basically all their life, from you know, youth till your adult. How important, because people don't realize how important structure is to an athlete. When you've had structure your whole life and then all of a sudden you retire and it's like, okay, what am I doing? Where's the structure at? But you said you still got structure. How important is that?
Well, I loved having no structure for 4 months. I'll tell you that right now. I was not mad at that. I loved having no structure for 4 months. It was really nice to do that. And then, you know, it also just became like repetitive, right? But not repetitive in a bad way. It's just like I'm a person that loves to work. I love to work. I love to work out. I like to take care of myself. I make my life really a lifestyle. You know, I don't just wake up every day. I have certain things. I want to take care of myself health-wise. I want to work. I want to continue to grow my business and do different things. And that's just ambition. Like, you know, like why not attack a challenge of trying to be successful in something else, you know? And I have the time to do that. And it's a blessing to be able to do that at 33 when you have a lot of energy and you can travel and do that. Because, you know, media isn't easy. You got to travel. You got to do your research. You got to work. Can be a lot of late nights. But I love it. And it's just different, you know. The difference is that, like, on a Saturday, I wake up at 8 a.m. and drive to Bristol to go do an ABC special at 1 o'clock. And the difference is that, you know, Nashville guys get up, they eat their eggs, and they got to get ready to get punched in the face. You know? It's like, you know, it's like on a Saturday afternoon, it's like, you know, those early games, it's just different for me. So the work and the commitment is different, but it's the same kind of stimulation. It's the same mindset of, you know, taking care of what you got to do. And I love it. I love it. I love it.
PK Subban, former National Predator. Appreciate you for stopping by. Enjoy the night.
Thanks for having me, guys. I will.
It is PK Subban night. PK will be honored ahead of the Predators matchup with the Arizona Coyotes. Tron Davenport, NFL Nation, Tennessee Titans reporter, will join us coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.